At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, the official podcast of thevikingage.com. My name is Chris Shedd. I am a writer for the Viking Age, as well as bringing the news, zone coverage, and the Brookings Register. My co-host is Adam Patrick, managing editor of the Viking Age. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel, but we're also in Apple and Spotify in podcast form the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you like, comment, share, subscribe. You never miss a new episode, and we can spread the word to the masses. Now, on today's show, we're going to talk about the first wave of roster cuts in a bit. Vikings got to get down to 53 players by Tuesday, I believe 3 p.m. Central Time. But first, we're going to channel our inner Kevin O'Connell. Now, I do not have an unlimited budget for game balls. I don't know about you, Adam. I fansided going to cover that or no?
I'll get back to you on that.
Okay, we'll reach out to Fansite and see what they do there. But instead of handing out game balls, Adam and I have decided to give our 2024 offseason awards. Since the offseason's almost done, we got one more Sunday without football, and then the floodgates open. You were going to be drinking through a fire hose. 18 weeks of pulling our hair out, but we should celebrate the offseason that was for the Minnesota Vikings. A very eventful offseason, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, good and bad, for sure. Very high highs and very low lows.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was done. So you're good to go.
It's funny. I was talking. I'm like, I don't really have energy for this today. And then I log on and it's like, boom, you're not even going to get a word in.
Yeah,
it's fun times here. So we have a couple of categories, and we took a look at all of them, and we're going to go one by one through them and dish out our Viking offseason awards. So because I've been talking, I'll let you go first with our first category, which is player the Vikings will regret letting go in 2024. Which player will the Vikings be a little sad that they let him walk out the door, Adam?
Well, I think you got to go with Danielle Hunter. Looking back, it seems like it was a good move because he signed a massive contract with the Houston Texans, and the Vikings were able to replace him with use that money to spend on three new pass rushers in Kennard, Van Ginkle, and Dallas Turner. But we don't know if those three players are going to be able to produce at the same level or combined at the same level as Hunter was. Hunter, I believe he had around 15, 16 sacks last year, led the league in tackles for loss, just looked like the old Danielle Hunter again, just terrorizing quarterbacks. And he's still around, I think he's around 30. He might be 29. So he's still got plenty left in the tank. It's just the cost is probably what just led the Vikings to let him go and move on. And probably also the constant offseason of, you know, hey, I want more money. And we're like, okay, here you go. And then you're like, okay, that's great. And then the next offseason, you're like, actually, I actually wanted more money. I just wanted it, you know. So that's done. But yeah, I think it's not a huge, like, it's not a big question, but I feel like it's one where we're just assuming that the Vikings are going to be okay without Danielle Hunter. Where he was proven in this defense, he could be successful. You're bringing in guys who it sounds like they have the potential to be good or better, but we just don't know. So just that unknown is probably what a move that could come back to bite them, but who knows? We'll see.
I will push back on that a little bit. Okay. And part of it is because one of the categories we have later, but this was hard for me. This was a hard category for me to decide because I feel like, yeah, it's going to hurt a little bit losing Daniil Hunter.
I was just
going
to say that because I was going to be like, oh, Alexander Mattison. No.
Yeah.
No.
Most of the guys that left were kind of, I don't want to call them dead weight, but they weren't like instrumental pieces. Like Daniil Hunter kind of wins by default, right? Yeah, you could make an argument for Kirk Cousins too. If you think Kirk Cousins was the integral part of this team, which I don't know how you can after the last month or so, but maybe you're a big Kirk stan and you think that the Vikings are going to fall apart because Sam Darnold's a quarterback. You can make that argument too. Me, I don't believe in either. With Hunter specifically, I feel like the Vikings did enough to replace him. You signed Jonathan Greenard. You signed Andrew Van Ginkle. You even got Blake Cashman, who is a very good pass rusher in his own right. But you also have Dallas Turner, who I will talk about a little bit later. Wink, wink. Like, I think the Vikings did a good job at replacing Hunter. And even if they do drop back a little bit, Hunter wasn't a fit for what Brian Flores wanted to do. Brian Flores likes to mix people around. He likes to put them in different positions. Daniil Hunter's position was go get the quarterback. That was it. Ed Donatell tried the drop back thing with him. That didn't work because, I mean, Daniil Hunter had 10 and a half sacks and he didn't know what the fuck he was doing in that offense. I made that joke several times. Brian Flores was like, okay, you can't really drop in the coverage. We're just going to send you at the quarterback and see what happens. But he still had to blitz. So I think while Daniil Hunter was the main source of their sacks and pressures a year ago, I think it's going to be more dispersed this year. And you're going to see a better defense because of it.
Yeah, like I said,
you're a Daniil Hunter truther. I don't know. What's the Daniil Hunter version of a Kirk Crusader? That's you.
A Hunter heroic.
Hunter Homer.
Yeah, Hunter Homer. There you go.
Yeah,
there you go. But like, kind of like you said in your response at the beginning, like, it's a hard category to pick from because all the players are let go. It's just like, yeah, they should have done that. They weren't really in like, I don't know, a contract competition or whatever with any of these guys where they were like, oh, we're out of it. You know, we suck. We couldn't get this done. And now he's gone. And now our whole defense is ruined. No, the Vikings probably had a plan before the offseason even started. They were going to move on from Daniil Hunter. I don't even know if they offered him a contract at all. I think they just let him go to free agency and see if he could get what he wanted. And he did. So yeah, I agree with everything you said. It was a hard category to pick and I came up with it. I just wanted to explore that because I thought it would be interesting. So it's a could. It's not an emphatic could. They could be affected by it next season, but I feel like there's a small chance that the Vikings could look back and be like, man, I wish you would have kept Daniil Hunter. But it's a small chance, a small percentage.
And if we're going by the word could, that's how I thought of it because there are several players that you look at now and you go, don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out. But there are other players you could look back at the end of season and be like, maybe we should have kept him around. Mm-hmm. And the player that I chose was KJ Osborne. And I'm not an Osborne fan. I'm not an Osborne truther or anything like that. But Osborne was never a big target
Osborne Optimist.
I like it. He was never a big target in this offense, but he was reliable. 158 catches, 1,800 yards, 15 touchdowns since 2021. He was a key blocker in the running game, which they're trying to find right now. That's why Trent Sherfield's probably going to make the roster.
Yep.
And the Vikings receiver room has some questions behind Justin Jefferson. I think Jefferson's going to be past his injury thing. And by the way, there's some debate right now over, like, should I take Justin fantasy? Jefferson in fantasy?
That's been going on for the last few months.
Yes, you should, because play A, B, and C are going to be throw the ball to Justin Jefferson and see what happens. And Sam Darnold's going to be like, hey, Justin Jefferson is over there. I don't know what I'm doing, but number 18's over there, and I'm going to chuck it to him as much as possible and see what happens.
Don't draft Sam Darnold. Draft Justin Jefferson. You don't draft the quarterback because he's going to throw, like, two or three interceptions a game probably, but...
Well, this is a funny story. In the Dynasty League that I used to play in, we did not take away points for interception.
What?
Because the commissioner deemed that most interceptions are not the quarterback's fault. So we would have, like, Jay Cutler would toss five picks or something and be like, oh, that's not his fault
James
right there.
Winston, those 30 picks were, you know,
yeah,
two-thirds were the receiver's fault.
I think we changed it before that happened, but it was one of the ill-fated rules of the Libsmo Fantasy Football League.
That's interesting. There's always interesting rules of fantasy football. I think I was in, it's called the Hell League. I think it's run by the dude who runs Norse Code and kickers. Like, if you miss a kick, you get like minus 50 points or whatever. Just lose the whole game.
I saw one too that was, it said that if the quarterback makes a tackle on an interception, you get 1,000 points.
That's great.
That is tremendous.
It's like Daniel Jones is the number one pick.
Jameis Winston might be.
Yeah, but he's not a starter this year.
I mean, he's not there. He's not starting anymore. Yeah, but like that 30-30 season or whatever it was.
Who led the league? Did Josh Allen or Dak Prescott? I think Josh Allen.
Yeah. Because he's kind of a turnover machine.
Guys just don't throw picks like they used to, you know, throwing 25 like Brett Favre used to do all the time and win MVP.
Why Your Team Sucks Packers edition came out today. And it was like, can't remember what he called Brett Favre, like High Vike Brett Favre or High Max Painkiller Brett Favre or something like that.
I got to read the Vikings one still. I still haven't read that one.
I thought the Vikings one was a little weak this year, but that'll happen when you get rid of your most polarized.
I know. Player. Yeah. He went off on the Falcons. I read that one.
Oh, I gotta check that one out. let me get off the tangent here though. The Vikings receiver room has some questions. Jordan Addison, you have to ask about his health because he suffered that ankle injury in the joint practice with the Browns. You also have to wonder, is he going to get suspended in the middle of the season? Jalen Naylor had a great training camp, but can he stay healthy? And then you have Tristan Jackson, who broke out, but you don't want to rely on that guy in a top two spot. That's more of a depth player. So of all the moves, I can look around and go, hey, KJ Osborne, you could have made a case to keep him, especially with TJ Hockenson out for the first month of the season, probably.
Yeah.
So if we're going, it's a bit of a stretch, but you can make the argument that the Vikings should have kept Osborne around.
Yeah, especially since he signed a 1-year, $4 million deal with the Patriots. So he was more than affordable. But I think for KJ, too, he probably just wanted to go somewhere where he could be more than a number three. And I think he has that chance in New England this year, so good for him. I don't know who's throwing him the ball, because didn't Jacoby Brissett get hurt last night? But he's okay or whatever. But Drake May's playing. But I don't know. I'm glad we're not doing that this year. And the quarterback battle is pretty much set for next year. I feel like even if Sam Darnold leads the Vikings to, I don't know, NFC Championship, I think JJ McCarthy's a guy. That's it. But yeah, KJ Osborne, because he was a solid number three. He was like a Jarius Wright, that kind of in that mold where like you don't need him to make a ton of plays, but you know, every now and then he has that game where he just goes off. I think there was a couple games in 2022 when they were making all those comebacks when he was one of those guys to get everything going. You know, look at the Colts game when they came back. He was a big reason why. I think against the Lions in overtime, he caught that game-winning pass. So, like, he was a reliable target for Kirk Cousins. He had some drop issues last year, and I don't know why that was, if that had to do with more with him or with the Vikings just rotating so many different quarterbacks in and him not really knowing where the ball's coming from. Like you said, this category is hard, so I'm not going to be like, oh no, KJ Osborne isn't out there, because I'm excited to see what Jalen Naylor can do now that he's healthy, and hopefully he stays healthy, and you know, even Brandon Powell too, because I think he did well last year. So will the Vikings survive with KJ Osborne? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, that's a good time to move on to our next category, which is player you are most excited about in 2024. So a new player, I should say.
Yeah.
So who is the new player that gets a little tingling in your loins, Adam?
I mean, anytime a former Packer goes over the border, trades in his ugly green and yellow jersey for a beautiful purple and gold uniform, you got to be excited about it. So Aaron Jones is my pick. Not even really just because he's a former Packer. Yes, that makes it a sweeter deal, but the Vikings run game has just been boring and not effective the last 2 years. When you go from, you know, Mike Zimmer, where it's like the main focus of the offense and they had a good rushing attack for pretty much his entire tenure, and you go to Kevin O'Connell and they rank like bottom fifth of the league both years. And like anytime you're in a short yarded situation, you're like, I don't know if they're going to get this because of the, like they did the tush push. They tried and they had Brandon Powell being the guy to push, which was a choice. But Aaron Jones, I think the Packers moving on from him, he's going to be motivated to prove, you know, that he still has stuff left in the tank. He was hurt last year, but when he came back, he looked really, really good. He helped the Packers, you know, qualify for the playoffs. He was a big reason why, and they were able to upset the Cowboys in the playoffs and then almost upset the Niners in the playoffs too. It doesn't sound like the Vikings are just going to give him, you know, 25 touches a game. They know he's someone who gets banged up, so they're going to use him well with Ty Chandler and Kane Wongwu, maybe.
Kane Wongwu breakout season number three. It's coming.
And he's a really good pass catcher out of the backfield too. So maybe the Vikings will have they'll have a screen game. I think he just adds a whole bunch of different elements to the Vikings offense for Kevin O'Connell, especially with Hawkinson being out. I think Aaron Jones is going to pick up all that slack and Addison being hurt. And he's just, you know, he was good when he was healthy last year. So hopefully he can just stay healthy. And I just want to see what he can do. And he always plays well in US Bank Stadium. So it'll be nice to have him in an actual Vikings uniform instead of being on the other team scoring touchdowns. Yeah, Aaron Jones, let's go.
You can trade in that green and yellow sombrero for a purple and gold one. They already did that. They gave him one right away.
Yep.
This should be J.J. McCarthy's award when you think about it.
Yeah.
Because if he didn't get hurt, we would be very excited about what he could do. And when is he going to come in?
Isn't that the franchise motto for the Vikings? If he didn't get hurt?
If he didn't.
That's the slogan.
Minnesota Vikings football. If he didn't get hurt. Just have Alan Roach. That's just. It should be J.J. McCarthy here. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to put him there because we have to wait till 2025 to see him. You know exactly who I'm going to say here. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge Will Reichard. Because I know I'm the lamb going to the slaughter. I know he's going to take that big leg, wind up, and kick me in the ball someday. But that's fine. I'm expecting it. I know what will happen. Right now, I'm pretty excited about Will Reichard. Because during the offseason, this is according to ESPN's Kevin Seifert, he made 39 of 43 of his kicks in training camp and preseason games. That includes all four field goals, I should say. He made every extra point as well against the Philadelphia Eagles, including a 58-yarder where he just kicked it and went, that was easy. What else you got for me? I like the guy on the field. Off the field, everything I keep hearing, this guy is awesome. Dallas Turner, he went on KFXN, talked to Paul Allen. He said, this guy's a cold-blooded sniper. That's enough to make every Viking fan roll their eyeballs. But during top 30 visits, they identified this guy. And then they talked to every Alabama player that had played with him. And they're like, hey, this guy is awesome. Like, you want to draft him. He's a great teammate and all that stuff. And then Alec Lewis put out a story, and I believe it was a couple of weeks ago, but it talked about his upbringing, how he's been at all these kicking camps. He's basically been doing the NFL's version of driveline to get more distance and just make more kicks and everything else. And then he goes to Alabama, a college program that is his own cursed history of kickers, and he becomes the NCAA's all-time leading scorer. Now, again, I know you're sitting at home listening to me talk about this, and you might be recording this so you can shove it in my face when he misses a game-winning field goal in January. That's fine. That's fine because, you know, I'm going to have a positive mindset about this. And everything that I see, hey, it's better than the alternative. It's better than Daniel Carlson shanking kicks left and right. Mike Zimmer getting his shotgun on the sidelines, getting ready to shoot him. So I think things are pointing in a positive direction. And maybe, just maybe, we can fill this kicker position and not talking about it for 10 years.
That would be the hope. That would be nice. I think I wrote about it in my final 53 that I published on Sunday. That was is it weird to be excited about a Vikings kicker? Because I think it's weird to be excited about a Vikings kicker because we never have this century. I want to say the Vikings leading scorer is a kicker. It's, was it Fred Cox?
Yeah, sounds right.
But he made 65% of his kicks, because that's what happened back in the day.
Because they were kicking a brick around.
Yeah, and they were kicking straight forward, just toe kicks. But yeah, well, with Will Reichard, you could even argue his one miss this preseason wasn't even his fault, because what, Juergens or whatever got run over by the Raiders special teams and they were able to block it. Yeah.
I loved what Matthew Collar said. He goes, everybody fell down.
Yeah.
That's why he missed.
Yeah. So if that doesn't happen, then he'll be good. But like, yeah, what did he have? Four. He had four field goals on Saturday against the Eagles, two extra points.
Mm-hmm.
Nailed them all. Yeah, it's just, it's weird to have like, oh, the Vikings have a reliable kicker. They have a coach who's not going to get in his head and make him go crazy like he did with Daniel Carlson and Kai Forbath and Blair Wallace and Greg Joseph. The list goes on. But it seems like a weird thing maybe for other teams to be excited about. But with the Vikings, this franchise has been snake bitten so many times by kickers. To finally get one who seems reliable is, you know, amazing. And we also have to pump the brakes on, even if he's good this year, because Blair Walsh came out of the gates, rookie year, all pro, missed like two kicks, made 10 from like 50 yards plus. After that, he pooped his pants every time he went to kick the ball. So yes, I'm excited about Will Reichard. Yes, I think he'll do well. And yes, I'm still going to be worried about the Vikings kicker after the season, even if he makes all of his kicks.
Well, that might be the easiest decision of the season for you to worry about the kicker.
Yeah.
But was the easiest decision of the offseason for the Vikings? That was a terrible segue, but I tried. What was the easiest decision in the offseason for the Vikings?
Well, you know, it's one we've been asking for a while, and the Vikings finally did it, whether Kevin O'Connell did it reluctantly or not. But I think they had to. They had to move on from Kirk Cousins. They had to. This franchise wasn't going anywhere with him sticking around, getting paid more money. Oh, he took a discount. No, he won't. No, you're not going to take a discount. His whole purpose in the NFL is to make as much money as possible, and good for him. He's about to have more career earnings than Tom Brady. So, you know, whatever. Good for him. If you're not winning a Super Bowl in the NFL, that should be your other goal, to make as much money as possible. And Kirk Cousins is doing that. And I think, you know, a lot of people in the NFL actually are like, yeah, he's incredibly smart, because he's just going around and he'll go wherever, whoever pays him. And it wasn't the Vikings. And the Vikings are just, they're ready to move on, ready to start over that position, take advantage of the rookie contract. They were hoping to this year with J.J. McCarthy, but he got hurt. But he still has, you know, 3 or 4 years where you can take advantage of that. They're going to have more money to spend on free agents next year. You know, they're going to be able to just not have to worry, hopefully not have to worry about their quarterback spontaneously combusting in the playoffs when, you know, it's fourth down and they need 8 yards. But we don't still talk about that, but we do. But yeah, it was a move that had to be made. And I think the Vikings fans, even the ones who were kind of hesitant about it after seeing J.J. McCarthy in the preseason and reading about him all offseason, are now at least turning the corner and being like, yeah, it's probably for the best to let Kirk Cousins.
How much more fun has this offseason been after letting go of Kirk Cousins?
After March, yeah.
Yeah.
Leading up to March was...
No, that was terrible.
Terrible.
If you go back, we did a show. I remember it was, what did we call it? Like the ultimate debate about Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, the official Kirk Cousins debate. And then the next three or four episodes, we're like, this is the only time we're going to talk about it.
And then we did it every episode afterwards where it's like, Kirk feels disrespected. Kevin O'Connell sounds like he got his dog
Which
shot.
Insider is, you know, being pushed with their report this week to get Kirk Cousins leverage or whatever in his contract.
Hey, top five trade, top five trade destinations for CD Lamb sure went somewhere, didn't it? Just like top five trade destinations for Justin Jefferson, although still it wasn't as loud because
not the highest paid quarterback though. $1 million less than Justin Jefferson.
You mean CD Lamb non-quarterback? There you go.
He's one.
Yeah, I was like, hang on. That doesn't sound right.
Well, yeah, the Cowboys are really switching things up this year. They put CD Lamb on quarterback and told Dak Prescott to kick rocks.
Dak's like, can I get paid, please?
This is Mike Zimmer's idea, because that's why they're bringing Dalvin Cook. So they're just going to run the ball 40 times a game.
I posted right before we came on here. So if you didn't hear about it, Tom Pelissero put out Zach Hiller's press release that his client is healthy and going to go visit Dallas. But I posted a image of the wear and tear system from College Football 25, and it is all red because that run the ball. Yeah, it's my new version of red.
Man.
It's not a chew. It's beating them senseless. We're gonna give them 300 carries.
Is his new shoulder ready to go?
He is Steve Austin, not Stone Cold Steve Austin, Billion Dollar Man Steve Austin. So,
what was Stone Cold's name before the Ringmaster? Right?
Yeah, he was the Ringmaster, and then he was also way back for you, Hollywood Blondes with Brian Pillman, and they did this.
Oh yeah,
the little filming thing.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a deep pull. R.I.P. Sid Vicious, by the way.
He died.
Yeah, he died
today.
Yeah, his son announced it today. So
he wasn't. Was he 60s?
Yeah, he had cancer though.
Oh,
so
great. Yeah. Now I have to go watch that replay of him breaking his leg in the ring, which is disgusting.
There's also like a bunch of other ones. I remember, not to keep pointing out the bad things about Sid, but that's how he was over. That's how Sid Vicious got over. It was just he was a larger than life, ridiculous man who
he was a prototypical Vince McMahon wrestler.
That's correct. He was on camera and he was cutting a promo and he's like, "We got to do this over." And JR is like, "But we're live." He's like, "Oh." Anyway, but like, you know,
Kirk Cousins
leaving, it was liberating. Like, this training camp has been more fun. You mentioned it with all the stuff we read about JJ McCarthy, all the stuff, you know, even getting to know Sam Darnold was kind of fun. You had more money so you could let Danielle Hunter walk and replace him with Jonathan Greenard and Andrew Van Ginkel and Blake Cashman, like I mentioned a little bit earlier. All of those things might not have been possible. They might have not even drafted JJ McCarthy if they had kept Kirk Cousins. They might have just hoped that, you know,
Spencer Rattler.
Yeah. Or who Joe Milton. I saw somebody tweeted out Joe Milton is Aroldis Chapman if he did coke and decided to try playing quarterback.
If. Yeah.
Kyle Rudolph's like, that's my guy right there.
I mean, I did see some replays from last night of like him pregame throwing from like the opposite 40 to the end.
It sounds like he is just the greatest practice player. Like, if flag football needs a quarterback, he's going to be the guy because he can just throw it, you know,
right,
50, 60 yards. I don't know how long a flag football field is. Is it 100?
I don't think so. But yeah. Aren't they doing USA?
Yeah. That's going to be at the Olympics. It's going to be like the dream team in 92 basketball where they're just playing plumbers from Brazil and shit.
Yeah, we're going off so many tangents because the guy, whoever plays for USA flag football now, was like, I think I'm better than Patrick Mahomes. And he's like 5'7", 140.
he literally like threw the ball. It was like horizontal in his hand and he like shoved it like a beach volleyball player.
But to be fair, I don't think I'd want Patrick Mahomes out there anyways. I think I'd rather have someone like Lamar Jackson be on the U.S. Olympic team.
That would be fun. What was I? So, I mean, with Cousins.
Can you run people over? You put Josh Allen out there. Right?
I think there's a level of physicality to it. Like, you can't like tackle someone and rip their flag off. Like, you can't do that. But like, you could stiff arm a dude or whatever. Maybe throw a shoulder. Like, with Cousins in Atlanta, it's Vikings fans are going to be like the sickos meme, right? Where they're like looking through the window and they're like, yes. Like, we're seeing all the shit that the Vikings did when Kirk Cousins was here, which is loading up on veterans, on one-year deals, Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons, and we're all in. We're pushing it in.
Yep.
And then in a wild card game in January, probably 3 versus 6 seed.
If they make the playoffs.
Yeah, there's going to be a big moment. They should make the playoffs though, right? It sounds bad. The Saints are really bad. The Panthers are, oh my God, bad. And the Bucks are...
I think the Panthers are going to be good. I like Dave Canales. I think they're going to be good.
You're back on the Adam Thielen bandwagon.
I just think they
are. Are you excited about the Panthers?
No, but I think they're going to be better than people think they are. People think they're going to be the worst team in the league, and I think Dave Canales is... what he did in Seattle with Geno Smith, and then what he did Baker Mayfield in Tampa. Why can't he do that with Bryce Young? So, but yeah, like the Falcons. I don't know who's their coach, Raheem Morris.
And I like him actually.
Yeah,
He's like, if he wound up being the Vikings coach, I wouldn't have been upset. No. But no,
they still have a lot of question marks because how's Kirk Cousins on his Achilles? We don't even know that.
And he says Michael Penix better than Kirk Cousins.
Mm, yeah.
That's another, like, you're just seeing the tension in that situation too. And you're like, that could have been the Vikings if Kirk Cousins came back.
Yep.
Sitting here being like, is his Achilles okay? Does he get along with JJ McCarthy? I definitely think in hindsight, it was a very easy decision. Probably not in the moment, but now that you look at everything else, it's pretty much a no-brainer. I don't know. Him and Kirk are like, their families are friends, mm-hmm. I believe. So they probably just
Kirk's coach in Washington for a little bit.
It was like Champ Kind and Anchorman. I'm Mr. Musk. This is over.
And I mean, Kevin O'Connell's what, three or four years older than Cousins? So like they can get along, and Cousins is a weird dude, so he'll just talk about anything probably.
They can still FaceTime. You think Kirk FaceTimes?
No, Kevin O'Connell's just in there with the Wolverine meme with the photo frame, just Kirk Cousins there.
JJ McCarthy coming.
No,
hey, what are you doing, coach?
No, now Kevin O'Connell is the meme of the guy walking with the girl and JJ McCarthy's walking by and he's got his head turned back looking at JJ McCarthy.
Yeah. There you go. my easiest decision of the offseason didn't really look too easy at the beginning of the offseason, but then there was some language in his contract that made it pretty easy. Releasing Alexander Mattison.
Oh, yeah.
We went back, you could go back in March and hear us talking like, why are you doing this? This doesn't seem like a good idea. Why is Alexander Mattison on the banner in Dalvin Cook's spot? Like, I don't think this is a good idea, guys. And we heard the entire offseason, Alexander Mattison, he's been waiting for this opportunity and blah, blah, blah. When you don't score a rushing touchdown in 180 attempts and lose 9 yards on your attempts inside the 5-yard line, you're probably not a starting running back. And that's okay because the guy, Alexander Mattison, is a great human. If you look at his backstory, if you look at the stuff that he does, he's a good guy. He didn't deserve any of the crap that he got in that Philadelphia Eagles game where people are lighting up his DMs on Instagram and that stuff. I think he's an awesome person. NFL running back, backup only. And that's not bad. He's going to make a lot of money being a backup in the National Football League. I also look at the running game and I wonder if it's fixed. You just saying the praises of Aaron Jones, I have concerns because he's 30 years old, which is basically old Yeller territory for running backs. Come over here, Aaron. Like, yeah, you're only averaging 2.9 yards per carry after week one. All right, Ty Chandler is the starter. Like, go get him, kid. And you guys know how much I don't like Ty Chandler. As a football player, probably a good person. But football player, you got to know which way the play is going. That's all I'm asking. It's a low
pass
bar.
What's
a pass block? I run a 4.4, though.
You know, Kane Wong will look pretty good this preseason. So I'm curious to see if they involve him at all. I know is this his last year of his contract? I think it is.
I believe so.
But he looked like it's weird to say that this, but he looked like a running back this summer.
Yeah.
And I think they switched. They're in the middle of switching their running scheme. Like, they used to have more zone blocking and now it's more straight ahead, like power plays or whatever, power scheme. Power play would be hockey. But he seems to be way more effective with the things that they're doing now. And the Vikings run blocking seems to be more effective. So
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So, Sean McVay did something similar with the Rams last year. So I'm curious to see if Kevin O'Connell kind of follows suit and sticks with something like that. But yeah, if Aaron Jones gets hurt, then it's like, okay, we're back to where we were last year. And Cam Akers is in Houston looking pretty good, by the way. After two torn Achilles, he's spinning and wheeling.
Like, what,
that he was
know.
There, and then they were like,
nope. Yeah,
that ESPN was like, he's on the Vikings, and then he wasn't.
He was not on the Vikings.
So, because, you know, Charlie Walters is right about everything. That's he should be in one of these categories.
Easiest decision of the offseason, not trusting what Charlie Walters says. Sorry, Shooter.
Well, I mean,
Shooter's gonna shoot.
Yeah, he shot his shot. This shot blanked. Just yeah, it wasn't firing very well. But yeah, Alexander Mattison was not a difficult decision. Like you said, it wasn't like, not, I mean, his struggles weren't really his fault because he shouldn't have been put in that position anyways. He's not an RB1. He never was. You know, if the Vikings wanted to re-sign him and make him still like the RB2, like they've had plenty of guys over the years be like long time number two running backs, like Mo Williams, Leroy Horde, those guys like that's
Leroy
a role.
Leroy Horde.
Yeah, that's a role on the team.
I remember talking to Cy Amundsen and being like, hey, Leroy Horde was awesome. And he's like, no, he wasn't. He's like, you were young. You thought he was awesome, but he wasn't. And I'm like, he converted, what was it, a 3rd and 27 on a draw play?
he had like one, I think he had one game, maybe over 100 yards for the Vikings.
Epic name, epic number, wore 44. No offense to Chuck Foreman, who also wore 44 for the Vikings. Yeah. It's kind of weird. That's like that.
Built like a fullback.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, probably ran like a 4.740. Leroy Horde.
Yeah, so bye, Alexander Mattison. Enjoy, you know, being in Las Vegas. Who's their coordinator now? I don't even know.
Another quarterback's Gardner Minshew, and he looks like he's going to have a 5-star banger at the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah. But. Yeah, they have Devontae Adams, who's probably thrilled to be there still. Watch receiver. He's so excited.
Taco Bell headquarters is in Vegas, though, so maybe he's
in his apartment or yeah. his house or whatever.
In his house, he's got a Taco Bell. Yeah. Toilet, the plumber must be like, for fuck's sake, man, I'm not coming over there again.
It's one of those airport toilets, just like full blast every time you flush.
What do you think was the biggest gamble for the Vikings this offseason?
What did I put down? Kind of similar to yours, but more broad, where, you know, offensive line for the Vikings is typically an issue every offseason. And it is for most teams. I think there's like maybe a handful where you're like, this team has really good offensive line. They're fine. Like Chiefs, Lions, Eagles, usually in that conversation. Not the Vikings. Every offseason, it's like, oh, yes, we got two good tackles. But it's like, but there's three other players on the offensive line, and they're the ones screwing up the most. And the Vikings didn't do anything about it. So my biggest gamble would be the Vikings not really adding anyone new to the interior offensive line, despite the constant struggles in each of Kevin O'Connell's first 2 years with the team. They did re-sign Blake Brandel. Apparently he's a starter now. Ed Ingram's going to be a starter again. Garrett Bradbury is going to be in the middle, continuing to be pushed back into his quarterback's lap all the time. And then Dalton Reisner's on IR now. So, and even if he's not on IR, like, he wasn't that great in pass protection last year, so
he wasn't a good run blocker.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, I got that wrong.
You got it
yeah,
mixed
right.
up, but
you're right. Sorry, though.
I'm offended.
He wasn't like an all pro pass blocker though. But
all pro food choice though. I still want to shout that out.
Yeah. Oh, when he was listening.
Yeah, because he was listening. You know, Nashville Coop and so all those other places.
Yeah, just I don't know if Kevin O'Connell just thinks his scheme doesn't like. Interior offensive linemen don't matter in his offensive scheme. Like, it just makes it not a factor. But clearly is when they play guys like Kenny Clark and Dexter Lawrence, and those guys are just picking Garrett Bradbury off of his feet, who's a 300-pounder, and just, like, lifting him in the air. So I'm glad that J.J. McCarthy isn't out there this year, because I think he probably might have gotten hurt. But he already did, so it didn't matter. But, yeah, interior offensive line. Still an issue for the Vikings. Hooray.
Yeah, Garrett Bradbury is like the guy in the Joker meme. You know, the one where the guy gets thrown. I don't know what exactly it's from, but it's some guy in a Joker suit, and he's just getting tossed at like full blast in this crowd. And he's like, oh, like that is Garrett.
Or have Bradbury. You seen the was it the Will Smith clip from Fresh Prince where he's in the weight room and they're just tossing him back and forth, but it's clearly a dummy and throwing it back and
forth. Speaking of Dalton Reisner's food choices, have you seen all the hoopla? I know you're not a Minnesotan, but have you seen the hoopla?
The chef reactions?
There's chef reactions.
I know he was there, right?
I don't know.
No, there's a guy on Twitter or TikTok or whatever called Chef Reactions. And he does, like, he's a chef and he does reactions to, like, crazy meal ideas that people make. Like, they do those crazy, I don't know, people pour, like, stuff in their sink and stuff and make food, and it's just gross. And he just reacts to those. But he was in, I want to say he was at the Minnesota State Fair this past weekend, and he was on KFan or whatever. But he was there to, like, because I think in this, a couple weeks ago or months ago, he asked, like, what state has the best fair food? And a lot of people responded Minnesota, so he decided to go there. But I know they have, what, fried ranch?
Yeah. but I've heard it's basically just like a cream cheese bite with ranch in it and then ranch seasoning dusted on top.
That makes sense. Which, like a popper without the pepper.
Yeah, that sounds kind of good, actually. Yeah. Like
anything fried is pretty good.
Yeah. You can figure. I mean, and there's good and bad. I've been to the fair. I haven't done the fair, if that makes sense. Like, right. I haven't ate with no regard for human life. I haven't drank everything at the fair. And I think I need to do it if there weren't so many goddamn people there. Because they said there were like 150,000 people went to the fair on Friday. If there weren't so many people there, I would be convinced to go. But it's just, I don't know, your shoulder to shoulder with people. Like, yo, what's that?
You're just at Petco. You're good.
But Petco is different. The baseball game is different.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're all there for the same. Like, there are a bunch of people who go to the fair, like, I want to see the pigs. And
well, I come from, like, upstate New York, and the state fair there is in Syracuse every year. And it's similar, not food wise, but like, they have like a butter sculpture. They have, you know, a milk station or whatever. They have stables and horse shows and everything. I think the Globetrotters were there one year or whatever. They have concerts and stuff at night. So, like, it's very similar, but I definitely didn't have the kind of food there that Minnesotans have at their fair, where, like, I'm like, oh, Sbarro at the state fair.
It's my favorite New York pizza place. Yeah. You gotta get your corn dog. You gotta get your pronto pup. You gotta get your cheese curds.
What's the pronto pup, by the way?
It's a corn dog. It's just another name for a corn dog.
Oh, I saw somebody tweeted this. Tim Walz was lying because he said he ate a corn dog, but he actually ate a pronto pup. So he's lying again.
Yeah, I don't know. Put that on a campaign commercial. Yeah, cheese curds. You gotta do that. I'm
not gonna go back
and corn on the cob is good.
All of the separate tangents that we've talked about in this episode, because I think we've covered just about every current.
We've been running the gamut, but it's fine. Yeah. It's good to break this up.
We got
that's your signal for me to hurry the fuck up, isn't it?
No, I don't care.
All right, but let's talk about Blake Brandel then, because that's my biggest gamble as well. It's in the same vein as the offensive line. This is a pass first offense. So you need guys that can pass protect. I think that's why they're not just going to release Dalton Risner, because he serves some value, especially because nobody behind Blake Brandel, Garrett Bradbury, or Ed Ingram has made things difficult. Like, you're going into this season with the same group you've had the past couple of years. And I think Brandel has more experience than Ole Udo did at guard, which was basically, hey, I know training camp is tomorrow and you've been training all offseason to be a tackle, but we're going to move you to right guard. They've done it a little bit better because he played some guard last year, but if he fails,
for the Saints.
What's that?
He's playing guard for the Saints now too.
Yeah. Good luck with that. Yeah. I mean, there's not really a fallback plan if Blake Brandel isn't good. And you can say that about any of the interior offensive linemen right now. Walter Rouse has been versatile. He's been one of the stars of camp, but I mean, when it comes to this interior, we might be sitting here at the end of the year going, man, they need to do something about this. Use some of that free agent money and get a badass motherfucker in there.
I'm swearing too much this episode. I was just going to say, is that what you spend your money on next year? Probably like
guard, corner, and interior defensive line.
You're going to put this rookie quarterback back there. You better protect your investment. He already got hurt once. So you better put some money into making sure he doesn't have guys flying at his face all day. He's going to, but at least eliminate the slightly more possibilities. But yeah, like, Tyrese Robinson is someone I feel like to keep an eye on. He played well in the preseason. I think he might have been the Vikings' like highest graded pass blocker in the preseason. And he's a guard. And I think they like him. So I'm curious to see, like, if Ed Ingram struggles at all, if they'll go to Tyrese Robinson. But at the same time, too, like, he's an unknown, too. So it's like, it's not like they went out and I can't even think of, like, a good guard in the NFL. They didn't go get Nate Newton. Larry Allen, is he a guard? Or is he a
guard? R.I.P.
Yeah. Larry Allen, the only guy to scare John Randall because he's so strong.
Yeah. He, like, what did he squat 1,000 pounds?
I don't know.
He did something or bench or something. And,
like, he didn't work out at all.
Yeah.
It was just like,
but he was just country strong.
Yes.
Yeah.
And John Randall's like, I didn't talk trash to him. He was like the only, I was quiet. He was like the only person I didn't talk to because I knew he was going to kick my ass.
Let's move on here quick. Okay. On that note, what was the worst offseason move for the Vikings?
You know, I liked a lot of them, so this was a little difficult, but I would say we knew TJ Hockenson was going to not be ready for the season. That was like the biggest unkept secret of the offseason. He's not going to be ready. And then as much as they're talking like, oh, his rehab's going, he's not going to be ready. He's not going to be ready for the season. He'll be on the PUP list or the IR where they can remove him after 4 games or whatever. But the Vikings didn't, they signed Robert Tonyan, who had 1 good year with the Packers, and that was really it at tight end. So they're kind of relying on Josh Oliver and Johnny Munt and maybe Nick Muse to be their pass-catching options as tight end. I think just not adding a more reliable pass-catching tight end this offseason would have helped the Vikings. And it's not like they're expensive. Like, I'm not saying go out and get George Kittle or Travis Kelce or any of those guys. Like, but there's like serviceable tight ends they could have gone after and added. I just don't know maybe during free agency or whatever if they were still didn't know how long it would take TJ Hockenson. So maybe that prevented them from doing something. But I think especially with Addison being hurt now, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with the tight end position, if it's even going to be a factor until Hockenson gets back.
My worst offseason, this might be contradictory considering what I thought was the best offseason move, but giving up a comp pick allegedly for Shaq Griffin. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if they gave it up or not because
it's very confusing. Fuzzy.
Yeah, it's very confusing, but I'll just run with it here.
There's one person on all of Twitter who knows how comp picks work. That's it.
Yeah. The NFL doesn't even
know. Everyone else
like, I guess third? I don't know.
You can have it if you want. Yeah.
but the Vikings traded a lot of their draft capital in last year's draft. Yep. They go out and they sign Shaq Griffin. And this is tough because I think the Vikings made a lot of good moves, and Griffin could be a good move once he comes back from his injury. But that being said, he got hurt. He hasn't practiced basically at all during training camp. Yeah, he just returned. And again, the Vikings don't have a lot of draft picks. So you may have just lost a potential second, third rounder because you're probably going to get one for Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
And Danielle Hunter walking. So you lose out on what could be a potential second, third rounder. And you could trade those picks, by the way. You can deal up, deal down, get some of that draft capital back. I'm kind of a guy when it comes to day three picks. I don't really care, but those comp picks at the end of the third round, they could be crucial for a team that's going to have some holes to fill. And I know they have cap space, but you can't fill everything in free agency. So you still had to go out and sign Stephon Gilmore. I just don't think it was worth the gamble on a guy who probably wasn't going to get signed before the deadline and also was on 2 different teams last year. So
on Shaq Griffin.
I don't know. What's that?
On Shaq Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder if Gilmore just didn't want to go to training camp. I don't know.
Be too.
If they were like, come on. He's like, no, I need like 100,000 more. Actually, I just don't want to go to training camp because I think that's a lot of the stuff like the older players like Dalvin Cook going on Cowboys today. It's like, oh, training camp's over. Now I can go because I don't want to do that garbage. But yeah, you mentioned like day three picks. The Vikings this year got Will Reichert on day three and Levi Drake Rodriguez on day three. So like, and those guys seem like they might make an impact this year. So like, and we've seen plenty of day three picks make an impact. So, you know, Stephon Diggs back in the day, Josh Metellus. When was Cam Bynum? Is he fourth? So that would
be a fourth. So that's a day three.
So yeah, they have a lot of guys on their team that are day three picks. So like those, even if you get those are better than having only, you know, 3 or 4 picks next year. And I think there's a high chance of the Vikings probably trading back wherever they land in the first round this year just to gather picks and get that. Although I did see someone post that the Vikings are going to be excited to bring J.J. McCarthy back next year because they're going to have the number 3 pick and it's going to be number 3?
Seems a little high.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So I agree with that, because Shaq Griffin, yeah, like those, he played on two teams last year. He was actually good for the Texans, and then they were like, nah, we're gonna move on from him. And then he landed with what was it, Panthers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was good with the Seahawks like 4 years ago.
And that's kind of why it's seems like overkill.
But I would say what Dwight McLaughlin, he looks good. I think he's gonna make the team. They did sign Fabian Moreau, so he's another veteran. If they have options, I would say that. I feel like they signed what, 4 or 5 corners since training camp started?
Yeah.
So yeah, they're making sure that they have guys back there. I think that's become an obvious priority for them this year. They had to. But yeah, it became a big priority for the Vikings this summer.
All right. The moment of truth. What was the best offseason move for the Vikings?
I'm in a closet right now, so I can't do his famous dance known as the gritty, but extending Mr. Justin Jefferson has to be the best move of the offseason. He's the best receiver in the NFL. He is going to make everyone's job easier on the field whenever he's out there when he's healthy, which he should be. And, you know, you got a young quarterback coming in with J.J. McCarthy. There's no better person to have on your team probably than Justin Jefferson. So they paid him. We knew they were going to pay him regardless of what any other people tried to tell us all offseason that, he didn't.
League neighbors.
And none of that was created by him. You watch the CeeDee Lamb stuff going on that just ended. You watch, you know, Jamar Chase stuff going on. Did not do any of that stuff. We knew he was getting signed. He said the whole time, like, I'm not worried about the money, because he knows he's the best. So he's going to get the most. He doesn't have to worry about that. So the Vikings paid him what he was worth, and now he's good. Now he can just spend it all on candy, I guess, because that's what the only thing he likes to eat.
Oh, by the way, those Dots cinnamon sugar pretzels, amazing. I have some in my
Did he have those
now?
In his cabinet or whatever? I hope he has a good dentist. I'll say that. But yeah, he's never gotten in trouble off the field, at least anything that impacts a team. You don't really have to worry about him because he's a self, you know, claimed homebody. Doesn't really like to go out. Like, there's pictures of him going to concerts and stuff, but like he's not going out clubbing every night. He would rather stay home and play like Fortnite or Madden or something, which is exactly what you want from your best player on your team. So yeah, it had to be done. It was going to be done. And it got done. So Justin Jefferson being extended is the best move of the offseason for the Vikings.
Here's what I think will be the best move for the offseason. Trading up for Dallas Turner.
Ooh.
Because I know a lot of people are like, well, but I just got done complaining about how the Vikings don't have any picks. But this was worth it. Because you had a premier player who he should have went 8 to Atlanta.
Yeah.
That was the biggest what the hell are you doing moment of the draft. Even if Michael Penix and his two bad knees turns out they were going to get Judon. Right. Yeah. They knew Judon and his torn Achilles were. That's what the Falcons are doing. They're just gathering up every old player with coming off an ailment to be like,
Of your Achilles together, we'll have a really strong team.
It's, yeah, something like
you've all got brand new Achilles and knees and muscles, so you should be good.
Yeah. But the Vikings went in they knew they had to upgrade the pass rush. And I think when Turner came tumbling down the board, I mean, you saw Kevin O'Connell's reaction when Kwesi told him he was going to trade up. He looked like a dog who had a piece of cheese dangled in front of him.
Steak, probably, actually.
Yeah, it was steak. It wasn't even cheese. It was just like, oh my God, you're giving me steak. What is that, a hot dog? This is amazing. Are you putting me down or what? Like, this is crazy. Like Dallas Turner, he's a guy that has an extreme athletic profile. I've heard people compare him to Micah Parsons as far as his athletic profile concerns. You have Brian Flores, who I mentioned earlier in the show, wants to mix and match these guys and attack you from all sorts of different angles. This is a perfect match for the Vikings defense.
Yep.
And I think that his impact is going to be as big, and this is a bold statement, but I don't really care. I think it's going to be as big as Chris Dolman in the late 80s when the Vikings got him and he immediately became a superstar. So I'm excited about Dallas Turner. I think he's going to be an impact player from day one, and he's going to flip that defense upside down.
You remember, was it the same draft? Yeah, it was 99. When the Titans got Javon Kurse.
Yes.
He was.
Because people said they should have, the Vikings should have taken Kurse over Culpepper.
Their GM did. I've interviewed their old GM and he said they wanted Javon Kurse, but they got Demetrius Underwood. Instead, that didn't work out very well. But yeah, like Javon Kurse, like that's the kind of kind of immediate impact that, you know, you're forecasting with Dallas Turner, which I agree with, because someone like that just transforms an entire defense. Like if the quarterback you're facing has, and the offense you're facing has to like put extra people over to account for Dallas Turner, that's only going to free up things for Grenard and Cashman and whoever else is blitzing and make life incredibly easier for those guys. Not to mention that Turner's just going to get opportunities as well to make plays. And like an underrated aspect of his game isn't even pass rushing. It's like chasing down the ball carrier and stopping the run. Like that's something I feel like hasn't really been talked about since the Vikings got him, you know, because pass rusher is more exciting and it's the sexier description. But like being able to stop the run at his position is very important too. And I think like that's going to be a huge help for the Vikings defense, which I think is going to be good this year. Like top 10. If everyone stays healthy, not even everyone. If the majority of players stay healthy, they can be top 10 defense.
I know corner is kind of a concern, but I've mentioned this before.
The quarterback can't throw the ball. Who cares?
Yeah, if the front seven is in his face, he's not going to throw an accurate pass. He's not going to be able to layer it over Stephon Gilmore's head or something. I think they get a better pass rush this year. I think they get more pressure as opposed to sacks. And I think that, you know, the secondary is going to be better by default. It may not be a shutdown Legion of Boom type secondary, but it's going to be good enough to kind of pace that defense along.
Well, who did they have last year? They had Byron Murphy.
Mekhi Blackman.
Who's a rookie.
Yeah. Caleb Evans. Could get traded.
For what? A bag of French fries?
That's the thing, though. Oh, I could go for some French fries right now, though.
Depends where you get them.
Yeah, it depends. Good point.
Yeah, I've seen stuff like that, too. Like Caleb Evans and Brian Osamoa make a trade. For what?
Everybody's played Madden, and it's just warped their sense of what NFL trades are like.
Yeah, I understand, like, the trade is a possibility because other teams want to make sure they don't get to the waiver wire, and they just want to get those guys regardless because they're going to be cheap or whatever. But, like, I just feel like I've seen too many reports this year of guys like Osamoa or Caleb Evans who haven't proven anything and Lewis Seen, and they're like, well, they're going to trade for him. They're going to try and trade it for who? Who's going to trade for them? Like, I feel like the New Day, who?
They're going to get him drunk and they're going to get like a third round pick.
Yeah, like if you get a fifth for Lewis Seen, fucking send that right away. That's not going to happen. So, yeah, just their secondary's better. Their linebackers, I would say Blake Cashman's better than Jordan Hicks, right?
Yeah.
Because Hicks was hurt.
His problem is he gets hurt a lot.
Blake Cashman?
Mm-hmm. But,
well, he was out on the field for most of last season, right, I feel like?
Correct.
So, yeah, if he can stay healthy. And then the pass rush is better.
The Minnesota Vikings, if he can stay healthy. Sorry,
and then
I had to do that.
They stumbled upon two like exciting interior defensive linemen in Levi Drake Rodriguez and the Taki kid, who I can't remember his last name, but he had a really good preseason as well.
Taki Tiamani, I believe his name is.
Thank you.
If I butchered it, I apologize, but
I didn't even want to try. I know his first name's Taki. That's all he's gonna, if I was Vince McMahon, that's all his name would be. Just one name, just Taki. I do a lot of other things if I was in Sick Man too, but probably not. Shouldn't talk about those on this podcast. Yeah, the defense is going to be good. Like, I think they're going to be top 10. I don't think a lot of people realize that. Like, Brian Flores is a good defensive coordinator. It's the second season for a lot of players in this system. The Vikings offense probably isn't going to be as good as it was last year. It might be. Like, I feel like people are underrating that too. Like, oh, the Vikings are going to step back with Kirk Cousins. Like, you realize they led the league in 3 and outs 2 years ago when they had Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, Hockenson for half the year. They led the league in 3 and outs. So, like, it's not like they lost, like, Peyton Manning this offseason because, you know, Kirk Cousins went to the Falcons. They're going to be okay. But, yeah, that was, what were you even talking about? Best move of the offseason. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had Justin Jefferson and you had Dallas Turner. Yeah, I agree. I thought you were going to say J.J. McCarthy, but he got hurt, so. Did that kind of throw a wrench in everything?
It did. I mean, like I said, it would have been he would have won it for two awards. Right. But, and I mean, too, the McCarthy thing, it's just hard to tell right now. You don't know if it's the best move. I said Turner because I think that's going to be an immediate impact move. Like, yeah. Even if McCarthy was healthy, we're still waiting for him.
I mean, I think we thought Turner was going to make more of an impact as a rookie than McCarthy was anyway, mm-hmm. ever since they got drafted.
Yeah.
Not really anything new. Also, I like McCarthy just based on his Instagram posting in general, just getting excited about Jaren Hall. Yeah. And Will Riker, like he's leading from the sideline on Instagram. Did Kirk Cousins do that? No,
he did not.
He did
blow the Gallahorn. I guess it's Aller, or I guess the G is
Gallahorn. No, it's Gallahorn.
I don't know. They have a lottery commercial. The J is silent. Word. Yeah, I was like,
It's like G J A L L E R H O R N. So the J is silent.
There's some purple-blooded Vikings fans like these guys are idiots.
Also, I don't even know how to say it. Do they actually blow into that? Doesn't I feel like they don't.
Of course they blow into it.
Because I've seen people like stop and it's still going. So
it just takes a while for the air
the magic to of
come
TV.
Out of the
yeah, yeah, yeah.
This has you know, to travel so it's got far. Back here and then it's got to go. Yeah, yeah, it just takes a second to finish off. Well, I was going to talk about the 53-man roster, but I mean, we've already been going for well over an hour now. I'll just list this up. I mean, by the time you watch this, probably the final roster will be figured out. I don't think there's a lot of suspense with it,
no.
To be honest.
Yeah, I texted you earlier about like Harrison Phillips, maybe.
But again, if you cut him, like, are you playing LDR in a full time role?
Right, and Harrison Phillips is a good like leader or whatever. It just depends on maybe what the Vikings coaching staff wants. Like, do they want Levi Drake Rodriguez to be, you know, a starter? Do they need that money? It's because it's what, like $7 million they could save. Mm-hmm. So it's not a lot. Yeah, there aren't really any, like, I think Adam Carlson, who writes for us at the Viking Age and does a lot of stuff for the Viking Age, asked me, or like, is there going to be like a surprise or shocking cut? I was like, Caleb Evans? Like, is that about and, as and again, shocking that it gets?
I don't think they straight up cut a Caleb Evans. I think you're looking to trade him, but like we just got done saying.
Seventh conditional.
Right. Like, you're not getting a lot for a guy who and has no ball skills.
He was good his rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
But then he got his bell rung a couple too many times and something happened.
Well, and I think too, with those concussions, and I've mentioned this to Arif Hassan who came on the show, once he suffered all those concussions, they changed his tackling thing so he wouldn't get more. And he's been healthy relatively, but he hasn't been a good tackler and that's and why mentally, he got benched.
And mentally, I'm sure he's cognizant of like, hey, I can't tackle the way I used to. And so he's thinking too much on the field, and that's affecting him. But yeah, him, Brian Asamoah.
The entire 2022 Asamoah, draft class. Sorry. They could end up like the 2021 draft class where everybody got cut the following training camp.
They're not, people keep saying Jaren Hall is going to make, I don't know if he's, well, you know what? I think Jaren Hall is going to make the team now because they switched. What is NFLPA doing? They vetoed the rule or whatever today where like you can use a quarterback from the practice squad for the whole year as your third quarterback, and the NFLPA was like, nah, I'm not gonna. So that changed like today. So now like I think Jaren Hall probably makes a team actually. The kicker's set, the punter's set, long snapper's set. Safe? Yeah, Lewis Cine is probably the biggest name that people are keeping an eye on.
I'm just disappointed.
Third string?
Gopher legend Mohamed Ibrahim did not make the team.
Yeah, we didn't see that coming when he got signed on Thursday.
There's a lot of angry Gopher fans who are like, he only got four right carries. Well,
yeah,
I mean,
he wasn't there to make the team.
He's like a poor man's Cam Akers.
Yeah, but, so, and then I'm curious. The Vikings, Kwesi always likes to do like, kind of like pluck guys from other teams that get cut or trade for, like we're talking about with the other guys, the trade for guys who might be on the way out. So I'll have to keep an eye on that stuff too. So it should be an eventful Tuesday. I was supposed to have it off and I was like, I can't do that. It's going to be too much.
They're going to drop some like massive move. Just actually JJ McCarthy is fine and they just wanted to protect it. Yeah. They were smarter than the Falcons. The Falcons were like, we're not going to play Michael Penix the rest of the preseason. Music. Yeah. They're like, well, actually, we didn't want to play JJ McCarthy's music. He's too good, but he's actually fine.
Actually, we're signing Ryan Tannehill. We decided, actually, we're not going to start Sam Tannehill. We're just going to start Ryan Tannehill.
We're going to bring in Russell Wilson. We're going to trade for him. Well, if the Vikings do have some surprises, you can check it out at thevikingage.com. You can check out all of the good stuff. Did you have anything else that you wanted to, you know, promote on the website?
I don't think so. I mean, yeah, we'll have all the coverage of the final roster and practice squad, and then kind of go over best and worst moves, probably look around the league, see what some other former Vikings are doing. You know, it doesn't look like Andrew Booth's probably gonna make the Cowboys because he's still not good.
I saw the one clip of him and somebody's like, was he going to the bench to get some game?
Oh, when
something?
They guy with the guy, it was a screen pass and like he disappeared off the screen, and then you saw him like running from the sideline. Yeah. If Mike Zimmer can fix you and you're a cornerback, it's probably not good. Granted, he was only there for a couple weeks, so it's not like he had everything going for him. But yeah, we'll be checking on that. And then this weekend is what? Big college football. Everything's kicking off.
South Dakota State against Oklahoma State on Saturday.
Oh, I'm curious to see if Florida State goes 0-2 because they're playing Boston College. It seems like
Bill O'Brien.
Seems like an easy game, but their quarterback ran for 1,000 yards last year.
DJ, you need to get a job.
Yeah, I think Florida State's favored by like 17, whatever. They'll probably win. And Ohio State, I think, is favored by 50.5.
Yeah, sounds about right. They spent $20 million on their team. You know that?
Yeah, they got that safety from Alabama.
Yeah, they got the war chest, they called it. They got so J.J. McCarthy broke their soul, so they went and they just threw money around. That's what I can't wait for. When J.J. McCarthy breaks the soul of our rivals beginning in 2025, it's going to be glorious.
When he's he turns out to be a better NFL quarterback than Caleb Williams.
And them is fighting words right there. Well, you can direct all your complaints online to Adam Patrick NFL. I am at The Real Chris Shad. But that's all the time we have for the Viking Age podcast today. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We are also in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you like, comment, share, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. For Adam Patrick, I am Chris Shad. This has been the Viking Age Podcast.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.